As I look at the cover of the bulletin this week, I'd like to ask you all to turn there. The beautiful picture from Psalm 124, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." This is an awesome piece of artwork, but awesome piece of scripture to remind us. And it's a great piece to cut out, to put in our cars, maybe at our workplaces, maybe in our homes, on the refrigerator, because this is the kind of encouragement we need day in and day out to remind us constantly when we're scurrying around and it seems like we're caught in the snares of the enemy. Be reminded, what am I doing? To stop and turn to the Lord. I brought this rope today as an illustration to help us along in this morning. Many of you will understand what I'm talking about. If you've ever done any trapping or been around anybody that did, you'll know what a snare is. And there are several types of snares. A snare would be a thing that would look like this, and I brought the rope along because it's big and you can see, but normally they're made out of small pieces of steel wire. And a snare has a loop in it like this that slides back and forth. However, the little gadget that's right here at this joining point has a lock in it, so that when the snare goes shut like this, and it's on something, that thing cannot get back out. So it's like a choker chain for a dog in that sense, but it cannot be released until someone comes along and releases that. As you set these for an animal, you generally set them in their runway, in their pathway, and you tie attach the steel cord over here somewhere, and you put this in the runway, and then when the animal comes running through there, you set it at the right diameter, and the animal will get caught in it, and it tightens up on them, and it cannot come loose, and the animal struggles to get free, and eventually if it's around their neck, they will die, suffocate, because they can't breathe. If it's around their stomach area, again, it will confine them to the point that not only can they not get away, but they can't breathe, and it will hold them there until the trapper comes back to find the animal and get the animal. In the psalm, we read a lot about the fowler's snare and the enemy's snare. And when we read about this, it talks about the fowler's snare. A snare for birds is a little different than this. This word snare in the Old Testament implied a netting, so to speak, especially when it talked about a fowler's snare. It was a netting. Have you ever seen how the spiders weave their webs kind of in places, corners or whatever, where flies will be flying? They kind of spin their webs so that when a fly comes buzzing along, he gets caught in the web, so to speak. That's like a fowler's snare. They would put it up somewhere up high, or sometimes even on the ground, so that when birds would land on it, somehow it comes up against them. Or the fowler's snare would be this netting that they would put up, and it would catch birds as they would fly by, and imprison them in this net until the person putting them up would come along. In the snare, there is no escape for the animals or the birds, because there's no one to help them escape. They cannot get out of it by themselves, because not only do they not know how, but they don't have the ability to get out by themselves. David of the Bible would have been familiar with these snares and these nets, because we know David was a shepherd boy out watching sheep in the country. We know that David killed lions and bears. He talks about that in the Bible. And we know that David would have had to have gathered animals to eat around the fireside while he was doing his job. So he would have been familiar with snares and how they worked. And as he wrote many of the Psalms, though, we see him talking about this, because he could identify with his prey as to how it felt to be caught in a snare. And I think we can too. It was a hopeless situation being caught in a snare. The animal would fight helplessly, hopelessly, no way to get free, thoughts going through its mind in whatever capacity an animal can think about what was happening. For David, there were people pursuing him, trying to kill him, situations and circumstances literally threatening David's life. There were, in some cases, in his mind, no answers. There were no solutions. He was depressed. You ever felt like David? Like you were in a snare? Many of us think David was a great man who never had any problems because he was so close to God. He was on God's path. We're told in Acts 13 that David was a man after God's own heart. You know, it's so easy to understand why problems arise when we've strayed from God's path and got into the thickets of life, so to speak. But what about when we are on God's path, when we feel that we're on God's path, and problems arise? We have to understand that the pathway is where you set the snare. Our enemy, the devil, is not only in the thickets, waiting for us to get off the path so he can snare us. He sets the traps along the pathway to catch us unaware and to take away our hope. One of the things that makes the enemy angry more than anything else is that when we are going along on the path we feel God has set for us, we're happy, we're joyful, things are going well, and we're praising God. He says, okay, I'm going to set a snare for this person, and I'm going to take away their hope. So he sets the snare in our pathway. He sets the trap along the path to catch us. All of us here this morning have more in common with David than we can ever imagine. David has some great encouragement for us today. David has an escape plan. In Psalm 124, he writes concerning his salvation and the salvation of God's people. First of all, he remembers who has saved him. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. You notice what he's doing. He's remembering who saved them in the past. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been doomed. Notice what he says here about what could have been and what would have been if the Lord had not been on their side. They would have been swallowed, which means consumed. The flood would have engulfed them, which means overtaken them. The torrent would have swept over them, which means covered them. And the raging waters would have swept them away, which means removed them. In other words, what David is remembering, had the Lord not been on their side, they would have been consumed, overtaken, covered, and removed. If the Lord had not been on their side, on the side of Israel. David is using phrases similar to those used by Moses and the Israelites after they crossed the Red Sea, escaping from the Egyptians in slavery, using the examples hypothetically of a flood, torrent, raging waters. They would have been swallowed, they would have been engulfed, they would have been swept over, and they would have been swept away if the Lord had not been on their side. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like something in life is just literally consuming you, consuming your mind, consuming your energy? You're battling with it, and you get to a point you just can't take it anymore. And you feel like this thing has just overtaken your whole life. You're covered up. And sometimes you just want to die because you just can't handle it anymore. David remembers they had been this way. But he says, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been removed. But secondly, he's praising the Lord, recognizing who it was that saved them. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. So you see, David's remembering how the Lord had saved them. He's recognizing that it was the Lord who did it, and praising the Lord who has not let us be torn. Notice what he says in verse 7. We have escaped. We have escaped out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken. Now, thinking about a snare, a bird or an animal in a snare cannot break the snare by themselves. They're made out of little steel wire so that the animal can't chew them off. They're strong so the animal can't struggle and get free. The animal doesn't have thumbs so they can't reach up and press buttons and release the thing and get out. An animal or a bird cannot get out of a snare by themselves, of course, unless the snare does break or it's not set properly. And he's recognizing that. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn. And because of the Lord, we've escaped. And not only have we escaped, the snare has been broken. And thirdly, he finds reassurance of his hope in the Lord our Creator. Our help, as a result, we've escaped, the snare's been broken, our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And when you look at this name, Lord, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When the Bible was translated and transliterated, Yahweh, Jehovah, was written in English as all caps in the Lord. This is not just merely a title, this is an identity, an identification of the God who freed them from the snare. There's various references throughout the Bible concerning our escape from life's overpowering attacks. You folks know these attacks. I don't need to spend a lot of time on them. They come every day in our lives. They try and take away our hope. They try and take away our joy. They try and steal away our energy, our time, and our praise to God. Day in and day out, they come at us. In Genesis, we see that Noah was in a circumstance. But what happened? God helped him escape through the ark. In 1 Samuel, Saul was pursuing David, and we read several times how God, in several different places, provided an escape for David. And David continued over and over to escape from all those pursuing him. Fast forward to the New Testament in the book of Matthew. We see when Herod was looking for baby Jesus, God provided a way of escape for Joseph and Mary to escape to Egypt. You read that story. Over and over and over again, we read in the Bible how God provides an escape for his people. When writing to Timothy, Paul refers to those who have not repented and come to the Lord as being in a trap of the devil and being held captive by the devil. Paul tells Timothy that when those people repent and come to the truth of Christ, then they're going to escape from the trap of the devil. The writer of Hebrews advises in chapter 2 that we must pay more careful attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away. In other words, we have to pay careful attention not to believe all the other stuff we're hearing and drift away from Christ. And the warning there in Hebrews is that if we drift away, rejecting the truth, how are we going to escape the judgment if we ignore such a great salvation at the cross of Christ? If we reject that, if we ignore this great salvation, there is no other way, the book of Hebrews tells us. So we won't escape. You see, folks, salvation is not only when we die. It's right now in this life, in the circumstances of life. God is a God of salvation. He has always saved his people. He always will save his people. That's who he is, and that's what he does. God is our escape plan. He is our rescuer. And in Jesus Christ dwelling in us, He helps us to escape the enemy and the snares that the enemy lays out before us to entrap us and take our hope away and literally sap the life right out of us. The Life Application Bible notes tell us, do you ever feel trapped by overwhelming odds? With God, there's always a way out because He's the creator of all that exists. No problem is beyond His ability to solve. No circumstance is too difficult for Him. We can turn to the Creator for help in our time of need, for He is on our side. God will provide a way out. We need only trust Him and look for it. David compared this to a bird escaping the hunter's trap. In the song by David Moen, we're reminded of this. God will make a way when it seems there is no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. I know there's times in our lives when it seems like there is no way, when it seems like the circumstances of life are just so overwhelming that there's no way out, there will never be a good ending. With God, there's always a good ending, according to God's plan. What's the first thing people do when there's an emergency? They call 911. Some of them get on Facebook, but first thing that most people do is call 911. We as God's people dial a divine helper. We call it prayer. We turn to the Lord in prayer and we cry for help. The problem is today, people have no escape plan because they have rejected such a great salvation in Jesus Christ. People have no escape plan, so they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, not knowing what to do, trying to do it themselves and realizing they can't get out of the snare. So instead of calling on God, they're blaming God. And if we just humble ourselves and cry out, Lord, I can't do it, but You can. If we go in many buildings, they have posters on the walls inside that give you a map to show you the way out should there be an emergency. They show you a way should there be a fire, a way to escape. And in escaping, you will live. You see, that's the plan of salvation. That's the plan of salvation, our escape plan. Not only when we die, but in every day of life, we have an ever-present help in time of trouble. And here in Psalm 124, we find the gospel. We find God's saving grace for His people. That's what David's talking about. Had the Lord not been on our side, we'd have been doomed. There'd have been no hope. There'd have been no help. There'd have been no life. But our help, first he says, our help is in the name of the Lord. And if you look at it in all different ways, we see our help is in the name of the Lord. And our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. If we stop to think of what would have happened if the Lord were not on our side, listen to what David does. He stops to reflect and to think of what would have happened if the Lord wasn't on their side. I think here's one area in our lives where we could work at a little bit more. To stop and really think of what would have happened if the Lord were not on our side. You know, last year, last week, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. We would have been consumed. We would have been overtaken. We would have been covered. We would have been removed. Now, maybe you're feeling like that right now. You're dealing with something overwhelming. You feel ensnared along the way. Maybe it's something financial. Maybe you just feel there's not enough money. I can't make it anymore. God's not providing for me. Hasn't God provided for you up until now? He's brought you to this point. And if you just trust Him and look to the Lord, He will provide. Maybe it's physical. Maybe your aches and pains are getting the best of you. Maybe the sickness has gotten to you and worn you down. God will make a way when it seems there is no way. Maybe you're wrestling with something in your mind. You're thinking about it and you just can't understand it. And you just can't get life straight. You're trying to work things out, but things just aren't working out. And you're ensnared because you can't move forward. Or maybe you're having problems at work or school. Maybe in your home. Something has you so bound up and wrapped up that it's literally taking your breath away and containing you. Many of you will remember years ago, a great little show on Saturday mornings. I'd get up early in the morning and watch the test pattern on TV until the Lutheran Church's Davy and Goliath would come on. I found some old programs recently on television, Davy and Goliath. And here, some 45 years later, 50 years later, Davy and Goliath still has just as much meaning today as it did then. Remember the one where he was trapped in a train car and he could literally hear the voice of Almighty God? Never alone, never alone. God is everywhere, everywhere. Or the one where he fell down the mine shaft and his dad came and rescued him. And he cried out to God and asked God to rescue him, and he was rescued safely. So many more that were great shows that teach us good biblical doctrines, but good life lessons. But I think the thing that I will remember most that made the biggest difference in my life in all those shows was the music. I've grown now to understand it was the music to "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." A bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal, telling us that there is no earthly power that can overcome the devil. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom. His kingdom. It's forever. Let us pray. Oh God, our King.